I'm going to start with a poem I wrote for Pam Brown called Thinking with Things. Our time starts now. Snug under home skies, I'm reflecting on your question, why are there things rather than nothing? Longing provokes a list, a poetry gift, catalogues starred with perishables, drifts of privet like improvised walks, apple trees knotting to fractal profusion. Is that the same as improvisation? And silvered by lichen that appears only in winter when the sulphur-crested cockatoos, rifling for bitter fruits, have gone. The pines are listing to the north, defying weather. Spruce needles are a million candles sprouting from bones. You'd write old, old, old to describe this material endurance. I can hear them now, those cockatoos. I bet you don't want to miss them. Botany attracts me. I think it's because of my compulsion to make lists. Bulbs planted, birds sing, music played during milk cloudy months after both babies arrived. Whoever is a solitary walker these days, I could list the particulars. The walks you detail are teeming with humanity. Some people visit the places loved by those they admire to walk where they did. My friend Tom is walking after several this week. I stepped outside the stomach of Westminster to find the gravestone of Aphra Behn, but I don't know if she ever walked there. We love things so much that listing each one allows it to arrive permanently. Peeling shutters. Either somebody isn't serious about keeping out light or your aesthetic radar is suspicious about objects in which we invest sentimentality. I find myself wanting anxiously to invest in something, still fired up about belief and sequin things. I used to walk near St. Stephen's Cemetery past graffiti warning, "Do not frolic." Authority like that is fine by me. I just can't stand shutting out light selectively, bombarded by socially mediated data. The scale of resistance seems unfathomable, and we undertake forgetting. Another Currawal. My clock would be mountain-shaped with a bird at every hour and feathers for hands. Instead of permanent arrival, you write continuous rediscovery. This is flawless optimism, a philosophy of things and how we encounter them, adore some, chastise others, collect a few and forget why they are important to us. Susan Stewart writes that collections overwhelm specifics, or more accurately, a collection starts to redraw the limits of each hoarded item so it becomes charged with our stories about its potential. Burning futures, old, old pasts. Collections share a kind of resistance. We survived, felt purpose, kindled our love and loss among featureless planes. Time never runs out then. It returns in another morphology, another group of eyes sweeping the same vista, a different set of lungs. I think your words should close this morning hour. Why things rather than nothing? Nobody knows, but it is better that way. Thanks, Anne. Events like this are remarkable for so many reasons. One is for how many different conversations are happening at the same time. And there are some incredibly patient, tremendously courageous conversations happening. And I'm going to read this poem from a book called The Long Moment. It was published in 2002. I'm going to read it after listening to Natalie and her beautiful phrase about situated theory. So this is Anti-Landscape Lighthouse Beach, about a stretch of land just north of Mile Lakes. You are walking among ribs, waking, each skeleton composed to the height of a hand, falling upward into sky, into grace. Oceans caress the touch lighter than history, arrives as history, exacting and dense and drifting sand away from these unconcealed remnants, timely exposures beached and collected in gestures of appalled compassion. We remark that this stretch of land could write us eternally. For a moment only, sandlight burying hands are out of place, each matted thing with its own belonging. Then echoing along a wasted track, association of metal castings, an idea made machine and coming ashore, driven ashore, claiming usefulness, asserting watchfully anxious imperial certainty. Our choice encounters us as one broken commodity after another, plastic bottles and bags heaped against styrofoam irrelevancies. Written or unwritten, the details collected return us to context. Your light picks out the convex thought of an eye, ear, heart, tail, ghosting, a dog following the fishing, your tired whistle into territory to externalise growth, to sound, what you sense is not unspeakable but finely tuned, balanced, or hung at an ecological edge. Salt tangle of drying grass measures the wind, then the coated dune patterns the shift as it does. And I'll read a few centos from this book, First Light, from the title sequence of the book. These are three of the poems that are most concerned with natality in this book. I find that despite time in the academy, I encounter something new every day. I think even after 47 years, you can find the new in the academy. Charles isn't here. In a funny way, I own my job, but that's a whole other story. Thanks, Charles. This is a little song, and it's a cento for my daughter. Before the world was blue, it was a little darker. The apple in a circle by the bed, rain and all the birds. Under sleep's care, you run, run, stop to sing, pleased with every accidental scene. The first word, the first meadow green, no dust and courage everywhere. Moon, oh, and sunlight, oh, the living fancy, cheered up yellow's peaches. Wild house, the roof a hammered silver fishtail, rosy morning cry. Through a glass, lightly, this is a cento for beginners. The nasturtium is to itself already a memory. It opens its leaves, its fire, ribbed impression in a grass that forms like shadow. I see it plain as a living fretwork in the distortion of sound. Press a leaf to a winter dream of your hand, translated, given. Our love calls and we lie in the future of cells dividing, a water drop clean in its own shape. A nasturtium between itself and us, showing the light, time to be born. And I'll read one more cento called Proviso, which I last read for Carla Harriman on the other side of the world. I'm going to read it again to remember that, to say thanks, Carla, for being here. Cento for Election Day. And I heard my Coleridge say, I am the patron saint of everyone who died before you, had to carry a torch, a hunger you'll never show. Under alien skin 16A and B, I bring my body through this mortal world, American town founded on a hologram. This matter-of-fact free house, this one nightmare reaching out to consume you. Driving down Broadway, I told my child it was never yours. Only a naming call pitched their tents and destroyed whole nations 8 miles from here. What? We live in a burning sideline, same old fetch. We do this landscape crowned and slow. At the crossroads, I mutate into a flower that blooms once every 25 years. Words large enough to contain you, during, pine, upend, the eating of men. And I'll finish with several poems from a long serial poem called Book of Hours for Narrative Lovers. I don't think I read from this, I've rarely read from it, I think, but I want to read for it from it now. It's like jumping into, I suppose, a novel, chapter 7 or chapter 8, I guess, starting where I will. And I'm going to dedicate it to you, Lynn, this reading. Of all the poets from whom I've learned so much, you're the poet I've learned the most about narrative from. Thank you for that and many other things. So this is for Lynn, and it's from the Book of Hours for Narrative Lovers. I've learned so much about love from pretty much everyone else in this room. What can I write that I cannot feel? Left defending the poem while you champion the lyrical phrase. Not the thing but its attachment, so a man becomes a shadow returning without a sound and without locomotion to the all-mother of obscurity, becoming machine, becoming animal. A dog howls or space between wall and sun, buffered by hollow reverberations, and my thought is a dog howls. A view pressures my temples to a point of forgetting. Between words a capital sense of timing, relief as though confessing. What refuses name? If I wrote for a day, it would still escape. Condensation begins to loom at a periphery. An owl becoming gate, becoming iron, anchored to this morphic faith. A river pounds in your veins and you mistrust the expanse. Behind screens, a world intact. Altitude messing up the borders. A person lives a life in words by painting clouds. Details from another place like birdsong over grass. A studio where the hours fade, looking back to what I couldn't leave, sleep running behind my eyelids. 1. Eventually my eyes convinced me of a brighter spectacle. 2. As though nothing could wait or would. 3, morning inclined to fidelity. 4, a panel carrying marks where blocks had weighted into floorboards. 5, the chattering beams. 6, smoke enough to turn a flood. 7, only uncertain it was over. 8, by far the most elegant interval, free of any necessity to make something of the day. 9, would call this illumination or plenitude. 10, strewn with integers and well-wishes. 11, fixed to reckoning. 12, hand over hand along ropes, testing their weight and camber. 13, pleasure meanwhile in sedition. 4, the deepening sky, its timely fall. 15, each of 15 joys. The book gyres audibly between compass points. Nothing I write can prepare you as readers. As readers, be prepared to encounter everything. There is a mode of renewed political fearlessness, but it gets harder to recognise. My face, your hands, our history. I reach and take a tiny flower from your crown, hot certainty and a thick scar. Inscrutable dreams that figure and leap as consciousness, a sharp intake of breath, feeling too exact then dispense with fiercely. They were discharged. They were viewed from above, around, feet no longer hustled, afternoon sounding like a shell alive to fire. In one window, a blue screen flickered incessantly. In another, a window gave on to blue. Do they have a theme? Will a cold of feeling wake those directed without end to grave? Will dying and its methods become cozy as a church? The bodies of martyrs and bells, each with bright sponsorship. The hands of saints, each with armaments. Force a framed obscenity. Torn river, the spoils advance from reel to jukebox. They're playing my tune, so long, baby. Farewell, lady, send me your kisses in a dying convertible. To watch a body stop to apprehend itself. Signs that tug a war between us like elastic. Ideas long as lines. Pages translate as I read. A composition of relations, necks or age, apparent features, the unquenchable ever. Lives whole and movable as chapters. What tends to be included? Rework the sample as voices return. Rain like heat, beginning again like grey thunder toward a blue precipice. I bend to scoop leaves from the curb, autumn crying to arrive. Something that doesn't love a curb, like blue keys on black ice. In time, distance converts to numerical precision like a first thought. In time, we come to remember towns, even streets. Before, I changed my shirt and pushed 14 plastic dollars into the seat. South, we do abstraction. We do the plain words, nothing so plain. Roll the word and spit on the ending. A tower with tall doorways, frail like a boxcar, quaking soil, a fluke like forgiveness blown out by a single chance. Like a shoulder pressed when centuries trinkets fall like skins, like poppies, like photon spray. Books remember the future. A woman with red sleeves, a man with a hat, stalling by a clock without arrows. In the background, 3 small houses, and in the foreground, paradise. Physics, as much as love, a radical alignment of compressions. Planes vanish beside aerials. Writing, so describing, is not a repeat, but a making in form. I move quietly now, as if picking up shoes or setting papers in order. Fold and renew the hours.